Begin the current daf, Masech de Baba Basra, daf Mem Aleph. Begin on the third line down at the top of the Yamad, where the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, continuing on the theme of the Mishnahis of this parak regarding the chazakas that a person makes in a piece of property. And that is, the Mishnah will qualify what is considered a valid chazakah. So the Mishnah says, Kol chazakah she'ina motayna, any chazakah where a person takes possession of a piece of property without a claim, in the chazakah, so then it's not going to be a valid, it's not going to work through the medium of a chazakah. Now, as the Rashbam explains, this applies whether to the cheskes gemoshanim that we were speaking about in previous Mishnayos of a piece of property or a house or a tree, or even if what's called the chazakah of one day. For example, like we brought in the beginning of the Masech Davav Medalev regarding someone that has a chazakah of allowing to put his beams on someone else's roof because the guy didn't say anything after one day. In either one of these cases, the Mishnah is telling us that the one who has a chazakah, the presumption that this is his or his rights, has to be only if that's supporting his claim that he's saying that it's his. Now, so once he's making a valid claim that he has the rights or that he bought this, so through the chazakah, that supports and proves his contention that this is his if he had it for the amount of time that the sages said would establish that what he's saying is correct, because this guy was silent and didn't protest anything. So that becomes a chazakah. And then now the me'ara, the one who's contesting that chazakah, is not believed to say, oh, that it wasn't through my rights that I gave him, I let him come down to my land or to my tree or whatever it is. It was without my permission, because then why'd you let him go ahead and take the chazakah? But again, the chazakah itself is not what creates a kinyan. It's just, it clarifies and elucidates for us and tells us that, yeah, what this guy is saying must be true, because then why didn't the other guy say anything? But it has to be that at least he's claiming that he is here in the rightful way, because either he bought it or because he has the rights. As the Mishnah explains, Ketzad. What would this be talking about? Let's say Amalai, the original owner, tells this guy, Mato isa b'techshli, what are you doing in my property? And he responds, well, Shalom Amalai adam dav mi'aylam, no one ever told me anything. I've been there already 3 years. I've been squatting here for a long time and no one ever said anything. And that says the Mishnah, ain't a chazakah. It's not going to be a chazakah, because the chazakah is only that tells us that we should assume that what he's saying is correct. Here he's not saying he bought it. So, okay, so no one said anything, but you never bought it, so please leave. And the Gemara actually is going to ask that it's so obvious, what's the Mishnah even telling us? Of course, the chazakah is only for us to assume what he's saying is correct, and he's not saying that he bought it, so why would we think that he could keep it? Now, but let's say he tells him, you want to know what I'm doing here 3 years? Shemachartali, you sold it to me. You gifted it to me. Avicha macherli, or your father sold it to me. Or avicha nasli matana, your father gifted it to me. Oh, then says the Mishnah, reads the chazakah. He's making a claim now, so where's the documentation? That's what he said. After 3 years, a person doesn't hold on to it. But that establishes and makes us presume that what he's saying is correct, but it has to have with a taina. Now, however, the Mishnah concludes and says, but v'habo mishum yerusha, if someone is coming from a claim of inheritance that he's saying, look, I've been here already 5 years, and the reason why I'm here, yes, why I'm here, I inherited it from my father, because the day that he died, I got it from him, and that's when I started taking possession of this land. And that says the Mishnah, ein tzarech taina. In such a situation, he does not have to come, as in the previous example we just gave in the Mishnah, to come with a claim that he has to explain and establish how did his father get it, because the Mishnah is telling us that a person is not proficient in his father's properties to know how his father got it. So the concept of chazakah is that we assume that it's disguised because he's been there for 3 years and the original owner didn't protest. Now, but if he himself is not claiming, so then it's like, hello, so obviously it's not yours. But by a Yairish, the reason why he's not claiming is because he doesn't know. I don't know. I got this from my father. Do I know how he got it? You're claiming it's yours. Do I know if he bought it from you or not? So it's not a reyes, it's not a flaw in this chazakah if he cannot establish this chazakah with a taina. But as we'll see in the Gemara, he does, however, need to prove with witnesses that they saw his father at least be in this piece of property at least for one day. They saw his father there, and then his father passed away, and then he inherited from his father, and he's been there already 3 years. So the chazakah is his, even though he's not coming with a taina because he doesn't have a claim. I don't want to just know if it's me. So of course it's a taina that I don't have a taina. Why? What do you mean you don't know? Why are you here? If you can't say you bought it, then please leave. Here I don't know because I just inherited from my father. And that says the Mishnah, that is valid. You don't have to have a taina. And we assume, as long as you have proof that your father was there was one day, that it was the father's and you inherited from him, and then you don't have to have a taina with the chazaka. Now, the Gemara asks, as we alluded to before, the pshita, the halacha of the opening of our Mishnah is obvious that if someone doesn't have a taina, doesn't have a claim to why he's here, that of course not going to be a chazaka, because the chazaka is only a simen, not a siba. It just clarifies for us, and it's not a cause for him to get it. So the Gemara answers, no, the chiddush is, ma'ad u'tema, what would you say? Hai gavra mizvin zavne lehayara. That possibly, that this guy who's on the land right now, who's the muchzik, that he actually bought this piece of property from the one who's contesting his rights to this land. Now, so why isn't he saying that? Because v'shtar ha'valev irkas. He had the documentation, but then he lost it. Now, v'hai de kamahachi, so then why is he just saying, well, no one told me anything? Because sava, he thinks, i'amina mizmin zavna lihayara, if he's going to claim, well, you want to know why I'm here? Because I bought it from you. So the guy's thinking to himself, if I say that, I'm opening up a can of worms, because then I'm really achvishtarka. They're going to say, wait a second, you bought it from him? Show us your documentation. Now, the reason is because he's not proficient in law. He doesn't realize that his having been on this piece of property for more than 3 years actually takes the place of the documentation. He doesn't realize that. And therefore, he's not claiming that he bought it. And he's saying, well, I don't know. He's afraid to say that, because if I say I bought it, then they're going to ask me documentation. I don't have that anymore. Oh, I lost it. So I'll just say, well, no one said anything. And therefore, says the Gemara, Hilka Chalei Malei Anan. So therefore, we could assume to say that we should then go ahead and open up for him a possible claim as the consumer and tell Dilmashtaro Havalach Ve'irkas, maybe you had a document and you lost it, to open up for him, to let him make a claim that would then help him in his winning the rights to this piece of land. Now, why would we do that, us, the courts? Because this would be an example where it says the Pasuk in Mishlei, Psach Picha La'alam Hu. It would be qualifying what the Pasuk says, open up your mouth for the mute. Give those who don't know what to say the right claims to make. Certain people don't know what to say. And maybe this would be such an example where maybe he really did buy it. He's just not saying that because he's afraid, because he's Amma Aretz. He doesn't know that Chazaka would work in place of the Shtar that he lost. That is the chiddush of the Mishnah, that no. If he makes the claim, then we make that claim for him. If he doesn't make the claim, we're not going to go ahead and teach him to make a claim to say, oh, well, I bought it from you, I just lost the documentation. Now, but Rashbam says what we do learn from what the Gemara said is that if he himself would make such a claim, meaning if he first said, well, no one said anything to me, and they go, no one said anything, please leave then. That doesn't give the rights to you. And then he says, no. When I said that was because I didn't realize that the chazaka will take the place of my shtar. But truthfully, I had a shtar and I lost it, and therefore now I get to keep it because I'm already here more than 3 years and I don't need the shtar more than that. And that's the Rashbam from the Gemara. It's obvious that we would believe him, because that wouldn't be a problem of what we said in the previous daf of, well, that's chayz of a tain. You already said that you didn't know and never said anything. You didn't say that you bought it, and now you're making up a new claim, because actually this doesn't contradict his first statement. As the Gemara is saying that we would think that even we should do it for him ourselves. That we should say, no, maybe when you're saying no one said anything because you're afraid that you lost the documentation, it's okay. You could lose it after 3 years. Just say that you bought it from him and then you'll get it because of the chazaka. That, again, is what the Gemara is saying, that we don't say that. And that's the chiddush of our Mishnah. But it's obvious that if he himself would do that, then that would be valid because it wouldn't be contradicting what he originally said. It would be a clarification of why he originally said that, but really he had boarded, he just lost documentation, and then actually he would be considered a chazaka sheyesh meitaina, and he would be able to get the land. Now the Gemara continues, Anav Simon, mnemonic for the next two stories, is Ayin is Rav Anan, and the Nun is from Kahana, which the vase is that there was a bidka, there was this tidal wave of water, which the Gemara first opens up the first one, the introduction of a story relating to this halacha of that not every time is there a chazaka is going to be a valid chazaka. There are certain qualifications, like our Mishnah says, it has to have a taina, has to be working through the medium of creating the halacha of chazaka. So the Gemara brings a related story that Rav Anan, shokol bidka ba'ari. So there was a water that flooded into his fields and then knocked down the gates of his field, and he didn't know anymore where the gates were. He had his property line with his gates, and now it was just wiped out by the water. So Azl Hadr Gudda Ba'ari Dechavri, when he went and put back up the walls, he ended up making the new wall between him and his neighbor. He actually ended up widening the perimeter of his property because he ended up making the wall in the area of his friend's field. So Asla came to Rav Nachman. They came in front of Rav Nachman. Amalei zil hadri. So he said to him, Travanan, go give back the property that you took by putting your gate in within the field of your friend. So on that, Ravanan said to him, but v'ha'achzikili, but I have already taken, made a chazak on it. In other words, when I built the wall, this new wall, I did it based on my neighbor's words. As the Gemara will shortly explain, that he actually himself came to his sister of Anan in building his new wall, which had been taken down by the flood. So Ravanan was telling Rav Nachman that it's as if he told me, Lech chazek v'kani, like go ahead and take possession and through chazaka and be acquiring this area of where the fence is up and there should be your land. Because since I did it based on what he told me, and moreover, is what Ravan is telling him that I was here for a day or two already, and my wall was already in, considering in it was part of my property, and this neighbor knew about this, and he didn't protest, rather he was silent. So what Ravan is telling to Rav Nachman is that I made a chazaka with a claim, because this is my taina that this guy obviously was okay with this, where he didn't go ahead and protest anything, and he saw, and I was machzik on it, and I'm saying that this was my right to go ahead and do this. Now, the other guy, the neighbor, is claiming that actually, that no, I did not give him the right, and moreover, he was not here the amount of time to take possession, make a chazaka. So, but that Ravan was claiming that I was ready machzik, and his claim is that this guy was, you see, he didn't say anything, and therefore must be that he acquired it to me, he gave it to me, let me go ahead and take this part of the land. So Amalei, so Rav Nachman said to Ravan, come on, who are you claiming like when you're saying, but for chaziki, I already made a chazaka, where obviously you hold that even though you were there only like a day or two, that a chazaka of one day is considered a chazaka where the ma'ar, the one who's contesting, already saw for one day and didn't say anything, that already gives it to the rights of the machzik. That who you're saying like? Says Rav Nachman, Rabbi Yehuda. Like Rabbi Yehuda of our Mishnah, who he said actually the whole halacha of Cheskas Gimel Shana that you need to have 3 years for karka is only because that's the amount of time it takes for someone to hear about it for one day if he's out in Spain. Where first someone has to be there for like some time, then it takes a year to get to Spain, then a year to get back. But if the guy would have been within a day's walk of where the guy was being machzik, that he could find that right away, and he doesn't protest, it would be chazaka right away. So too, it's also Rabbi Shmuel. You're also like Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi, who is also at the end of the parak, says the same type of idea, where he says about a story with a person that opened up his windows into the sheared courtyard, and he came in front of Rabbi Shmuel and says, you were machzik. Because he held, which we see that the army, that they both hold this concept, were kol b'fonim, anything that's done in front of the ma'ar, la'alta have a chazaka, immediately, if it's not ma'ar, if it doesn't contest, immediately it's going to be a chazaka. So therefore you're telling me that, wait a second, this guy already had it for 2 days already, I had put up defense, and he didn't say anything. So obviously, since I was machzik, and my claim is that I have a right to this, that he gave me, this right, because he even told me to put up the wall over here, and he didn't say anything, so that's my chazaka with a taina that I have the rights to this, and he didn't contest, and that's what Rav Nachman was telling him. You obviously hold Ravanan that if the chazaka was with 1 day, immediately it's going to be a chazaka, you don't need 3 years. And that's Rav Nachman, less hilchasaka beside halacha does not follow like Yehuda and Rabbi Shmuel, but rather like Rabban, who said in the opening mission of our parak, that anything that you want to be machzik on needs to have 3 years from day to day, even if the guy's right there, and therefore it's not a valid chazaka that you had this for a day or two. But Omalei, Ravanan still responded back to Rav Nachman. He says, okay, fine, but forget about the fact that it was machzik, and you're saying, okay, a chazaka needs 3 years, but v'ochel, but then my neighbor was meichel. In other words, I have a definite claim that he sold me, it wasn't with money, but he was makna to me the piece of land, because I have witnesses that saw the asa v'sayyei b'gudu b'hadoi, that he came and assisted me in building the wall. So it's not any greater, it's not any less than when someone says, lei chazek v'kane, when someone gives someone something, he says, go ahead and take possession of my piece of land. If he says it, he's acquiring it to him. Here he did the same thing, he was meichel because he himself helped me build the wall. So of course this is my land now, I don't have to give it back to him. And that Amalei Rav Nachman responded to him and says, no, mechila b'toisi. It was you're right, he was meichel to you because he helped you and assist you in making the wall, but it was an error because he didn't know that you're building the wall in his property line. As he tells him, at gufach, he says, Rav Nachman says to Rav Anna, you yourself, if you had known that this was not on your property line, that this was in your neighbor's property line, you yourself wouldn't have done it. Rather, it's because you yourself made a mistake. You thought you were building in your property line. So just like you didn't know who Namel Aviyad, he also didn't realize. He's like, oh, the Rav Anna knows my great neighbor. Of course I'll help you build your wall. But he didn't know. It's a mechila, but it's a mechila b'toy. It's a mechila b'toy. It's not considered a mechila. And therefore it was an error. And therefore you got to go ahead and build the wall, move it over to your property line. You don't get the piece of land which was in his property. Now the Gemara says a similar story regarding the fact of Bidka, which takes us into a different halach discussion. So Rav Kahana also shakel bidka ba'ari. He also had a similar incident like Rav Anan, that water came and flooded his land. And again, he knocked down his walls too, and he didn't know anymore his property line. So azl hadar gudda ba'ari, the lady day, he did the same thing. He ended up putting up the wall in a land which is not his, meaning he put the wall now, his new fence, in his neighbor's property. So as a ketintam and bays, so azl kamed Rav Yehuda. So he came in front of Rav Yehuda. Now azl aisi trei sahadi. His neighbor came and brought two witnesses. Chadama once said that Rav Kahana had moved his new wall into his neighbor's property. Tarti utsiyasa'al. He came in these rows of, that there are like furrows in the ground. So two rows into his neighbor's field, the witnesses say he had moved it over more than what was from his property line. But the other witness said, no, he actually moved it in three rows into his neighbor's field. So Amalei, so Rabbi Huda said to Rav Kahana, Zil Shleim Tarti Megoy Tlas. So you got to compensate him, meaning at least move it back towards your field, two out of the three rows that one of the witnesses had testified. In other words, what Rabbi Huda is telling him is, both of the witnesses agree that at least two rows you had gone over into the neighbor's property line, because two is included in three. One says even three, okay, but that the other witness doesn't say. But since they both agreed to two rows, you got to move it two rows back towards your property line. On that, Omalais, Rav Kahana said back to Rav Yehuda, come on, who are you judging, according to which Tanoic opinion are you judging me? Because Rav Kahana was bothered by this, that, what do you mean? These two witnesses contradict each other, and therefore their testimony should be void. I shouldn't have to move back anything because each one contradicts the other. Although, yes, two is included in three, but he says three and he says two. So that Rabbi Yehuda responded, he says, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. I'm telling you the law, like Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar's opinion, which the halacha follows like him, which, as we'll see shortly, is Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar according to the opinion of Beis Hill. The time, like, learn the Braisa. Amr Shem Elazar, he qualifies that Lo Nechleku Bisham and Bisil, there was no disagreement between the camps of Bisham and Bisil. When let's say there's two different sets of witnesses, four people, two and two. Sha'acha Semeris Mano, Va'acha Semeris Masayim, where one set of witnesses says it was 100. The other one says it was 200. And they both agree that it was on that day, in that time, in that place. There's just one is saying that the loan, let's say, was $100, another one says it was $200. That they're both, Bisham and Basil agree, Shesh Bachla Masayim Mana, that including 200 is 100. In other words, of the 100 Zuz, the second set of witnesses doesn't contradict what the first set of witnesses says regarding the Mana, the 100 Zuz. Rather, they're just adding and saying, no, it wasn't just 100, there was another 100, which makes it to 200. But the first group of witnesses definitely contradicts the second group of witnesses regarding the extra 100 that they're adding on. So regarding that second 100, so then you say that you have two against two, and therefore they cancel out each other. And then what's called uki memoinim cheskis mari, so then the money remains in the domain of the one who's holding on to it, which is the borrower, and that he doesn't have to pay. But regarding the first 100, there they both agree to that first 100. Says Reb Shimon Elazar, both Bishop Misil would agree that then you would have to go ahead and pay that 100. Aman nechleku, regarding what do they disagree? Al-kat achas, when it's one set of witnesses, there's the two witnesses that each set needs. She'echereim emana, ve'echereim masayim. One of the witnesses says it was $100. The other one says it was $200. There is she'bishami oibim nechleku edusin. That's where Bishami says, okay, now this divides and separates their testimony, because what this guy's testifying, this guy's not testifying. Therefore, he says that's not a valid set of witnesses, and therefore you can't go ahead and collect anything. And on this, even over here, it says Basil that no, there's still 100 included in the 200. And therefore, both of them are agreeing on the mana on the 100, and therefore, at least 100 the lender could take. So therefore, says Rav Yehuda, the same thing applies over here in your case, where the two rows are included in the one who even says three rows, and therefore at least two rows you got to give back, and therefore I was passing to you like Rav Shimon Laza, and at least two rows you got to go back from the line of where you made the new wall. But on that, Amalei Rav Kahana asks back to Rav Yehuda, says, but v'maisina lo chigarta mima rava, but I could bring you a letter from the west, from Eretz Yisrael, that it's clear the ein halacha k'Rav Shimon Laza, the halacha does not follow k'Rav Shimon Laza. In other words, that even Beis Hillel would agree, in this case, like Beis Shammai, that since it's the same set of witnesses, that it's nechel koedusin, and that the whole testimony is void, and that you can't collect even 100. So Amalei, Rabbi Yehuda said back to him, he says, look, l'chitesi, when you bring it to me. In other words, right now, give back two rows. Until you bring me such a letter, then I'll see what to do then. And says Rashbam, the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda because that was what the law was done. The actual halacha that was paskin was he had to go back two rows, that even if it's the same set of witnesses, but since two is in three, what's called Yesh B'chol Masai Mana, then you have to give back at least what both of them agreed upon. Now the Gemara brings another story regarding to these halachas, that Hahu Gavra, the Dar B'Kashta, a certain person that lived in this place called Kashta, Be'elisa, in the attic of a house, Arba Shani, for 4 years, which is more than the minimum of 3 years to establish a chazakah in a piece of property. Now, Asamar de Beis Ashkeche, now the owner of the house came and found this guy living here in his attic. Amalei, my boy is Bahai Beis, so what are you doing here in this house? What are you doing over here? So Amalei says, what do you mean? Meplanya Zevint, I bought it from that person with the assumption that I thought, Zav Minach, I thought that he had bought it from you, and that's who I bought it from. So Asla came to Reb Chiya, came in front of Reb Chiya. So Amalei, Reb Chiya said to this person that was the machzik, "I islach sahadi de derba ihu. If you have witnesses that one who you claim dezavnemine that you bought it from him, and you could bring witnesses that he was there in that house vafilachad yoima even one day, where that would verify that would give us some truth to what you're saying. You're saying you bought it from this guy who you assumed that bought it from the original owner. Now, you don't know that because you weren't there when this guy had bought it allegedly from the original owner, but you know and you're claiming definitely that you bought it from this guy, but how does that help us anything if maybe that guy never bought it from him? So on that, Reb Chiya says, if you bring witnesses that could testify that the guy you bought it from was there at least one day, then ukibna la biyadcha, then we'll go ahead and we'll give you the rights to this house, to this attic that you're living in, because since you were already here more than 3 years, you already had established the years of Chazakah. So then, you're not going to have to go ahead and bring witnesses that this guy who sold it to you bought it from the original owner. Why not? Because that's the halacha of our Mishnah where we say, Taininan li Yairish, Taininan li Lekeach. We make a claim for a consumer or for a Yairish where someone that comes from a claim that, I don't know, I inherited this. I bought this from someone. He doesn't have to go ahead and establish a claim to explain how did the guy that he bought it from buy from this guy. Well, how am I supposed to know? But you got to know that this guy was the rightful owner. So if he was there at least one day, so we could assume that he was the owner, how did he get it from that guy? We don't know. If he's claiming that he himself was here the first time, he didn't inherit or buy it, so then, okay, you got to come with a claim. What'd you do? You bought it from this guy? He's not claiming this over here. He doesn't know how it came from that guy. But neither is it at a flaw because he got it from someone else, either inherited or bought. So if you could at least establish a proof that this guy who sold it to you was there at least one day, then we'll go ahead and we'll give it to you because you have a chazakah. And it's a valid taina because what are you supposed to do? What are you supposed to claim? At least you're claiming you bought it from this guy who you assumed that bought it from him. And you know that there's some type of substance that this guy maybe is the rightful owner, the guy who either bequeathed it to you or sold it to you because he was there one day and you could bring witnesses to prove that point. But v'ilai, lai. But if you can't even bring witnesses who could verify that the guy you bought it from was there at least one day, so even if you're telling the truth that you bought it from this guy and not from this guy, but what does that do for us? We don't know that this guy has any relation whatsoever to this property, that he was selling it to you, inheriting it to you, because we know that this guy was the original owner. So at least if you could bring witnesses that he was there for one day, then we'll give it to you. Now, Amar Rav, Rav says, I was sitting in front of my uncle, Reb Chiya, well, he was the uncle of Rav, as the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Hey Mem Aleph, that actually Rav was his nephew, both from, he was Rav Chiya's brother's son, and there was also his sister's son. Now, Va'amrile, and I said to my uncle, that why does this consumer have to bring witnesses that he saw that the guy who sold it to him, that there were witnesses that saw that he was there at least one day before it was sold to this guy? But what? V'chi ein adam asir likach v'limker? Isn't it normative for a person to buy a piece of property and to sell to someone else, where because what's called flipping property, which you can make a lot of money, Balayla, in that same night that he bought it? And therefore, asked Rav to Reb Chiya, you should have gone and given this piece of property to this consumer with this claim that he bought it from this guy, even though there's no witnesses that this guy was there for one day, because of the halacha of our mission of Tanin and Lekeh. We make a claim for the consumer, which is, it makes sense what you're saying. Because although we have no proof that this guy who sold it to you was there for one day, but it still makes sense. People don't have to live there. In other words, you're saying that if we have witnesses, it was there for one day. Okay, so then that verifies something for us, that what you're saying has validity to your chazakah, to make it a chazakah with a taina. On that, Rav's saying, no, even if he wasn't there for one day, it's still a chazakah with a valid taina. He was here for 3 years, no one said anything. Moreover, his claim is that I bought it from this guy who I thought bought it from him. Now, that makes sense too, because although there's no one that can verify he was there for even one day, but people don't necessarily do that. People buy and flip it that same day. So why isn't that a chazakah sheshem a taina? Now, however, the Rashbam does point out that the halacha is like Reb Chiya, as is obvious from the maskana, from the conclusion of the Gemara, that that's not true. You have to have at least witnesses that he was there for one day that would then establish for us that this chazakah has a valid taina to it, where it could explain how he had this, where it was coming from someone that we at least could make such a claim that the guy who sold it to him had boarded from this guy, although we don't know who he is or what he did and how he got it, but he was there at least one day. That gives us some validity to it. So that was Rav's question to Reb Chiya. Now, however, continues Rav. He says, "V'chaziti l'daite, I saw that to the knowledge of my uncle Reb Chiya, that I was able to gather from what was going on that if this machzik would make a claim and say kamoi didi zavni minach, that in front of me, this guy who sold it to me, I saw him buy it from you in front of me," says Rav, "I was able to gather from my uncle that then Mehemen, that then that machzik would have been believed. Why? Migidi boy omale, because then he asked the migoy that if he wanted, he could have said, since that is a valid taina in its own, although it doesn't establish exactly how that for himself, but then even he himself could say, I bought it from you. Now, so therefore, since ultimately he is making a valid claim, because he's saying that I know that this guy bought it from you, so therefore he's going to be believed, because right now that is what's called a chazaka shesh meitaina, which the Gemara is just adding lemal yusa and say, and even more, because he has a migo, he could even say I bought it from you straight away. Now, but in the case that we were describing before, but if he claims that I bought it from this other person, who I assumed, because he had told me that he bought it from you, but I don't know if he actually bought it from you or not, then that's what Reb Chiya was saying, that would be chazaka she'ein imotayna, that does not have a valid claim, because since we didn't see, we don't have witnesses, there was even one day, so you might have been duped. I'm sorry. You might be telling the truth. You might have been there for more than 3 years, and you might have paid good money for this property. But what makes us believe that this is really yours? So just like you've been sitting here for 3 years, like then our Mishnah said, chazaka she'ein imotayna, and no one ever said anything, okay. Notice that doesn't give you the rights to it. You have to have a valid claim why this is yours, that you bought it or something. Now you bought it, but you bought it from this guy. Who is this guy? He's not, no one ever saw him on this piece of property. That wouldn't work. But if he says, and that's what Rav said, although Rav had a question of Reb Chiya, but what he saw, at least Reb Chiya agrees to, that if he would say that I saw him buy it from you and then I bought it from him, then that would be chazaka sheyesh imotayna. Now, Amar Rav says, kavaseid Reb Chiya mistaber. It's actually logical to say like Reb Chiya, not like Rav, that the machzik would have to bring witnesses that the one who sold it to him had been living there at least one day before he sold it to this guy who is a machzik right now. Because Akhtani, we're learning our Mishnah as follows. The Mishnah said, Haba Mishum Yerusha, if someone's coming from, he's claiming that it's his because he had inherited from someone, and the same thing applies that, as we've been assuming all along in the Gemara, that same thing as if he says he bought it from someone, where both of them are not a flaw, that he doesn't know how it came to him from the original owner, because I bought it from someone or I inherited from someone else, then says the Mishnah in the Tzarech Taina, that then he doesn't have to make a claim, meaning which claim? The claim that the Mishnah had been previously talking about. The Mishnah said that in general, if you're being machzik in the piece of karka, you have to say, when the original owner comes and says, what are you doing over here? You have to have you can't just say, well, no one said anything. You have to have a claim. You have to say, well, you sold it to me, you gave it to me. That the Mishnah is saying, that a Yairish doesn't have to claim and say how he got it. Oh, you sold it to my father and I inherited from my father. No, I don't know. I inherited it from my father. Now, says Rava, what our Mishnah is saying is the Tainahu delay by it. It's only the claim of saying that you sold it to me, you gave it to me, that proving somehow how he knows how he's getting it from the original owner. That you don't need by Yerush, because how is he supposed to know? He got it from his father. It doesn't have to explain how his father got it from the original owner. But the inference is Ha-ra'aya, but proof with witnesses that his father lived there at least one day. That sounds like that, however, that bayi, that you do require. Now, the Gemara's inference is, because of the fact that the Mishnah doesn't say, Haba Mishum Yerushuk, someone that comes from a claim of inheritance, that Ina Tzarech Litin Klum, it doesn't have to say anything. The Mishnah doesn't say that. It just says, Ina Tzarech Taina, which sounds like the previous obligation of the Mishnah, which is to say that you sold it to me. Well, inheritance, he's not saying that. He's saying he got it from his father. So he doesn't have to say how his father got it, but it sounds like he has to at least prove that his father was there at least one day, which is like Reb Chiya, not like the way Rav wanted to ask and say that you shouldn't have to even need witnesses for one day. I think Gemara says, no, it's no proof to Reb Chiya from our Mishnah. But Dilma loy raya bayi v'loy taina bayi. It's not true. Maybe you could even say like Rav, that you know, neither do you need proof or neither do you need a claim. In other words, what our Mishnah was saying was that haba mishum yerusha, if someone's coming from inheritance, actually, when it says you don't need to have a taina, you don't need to have any claim in the world. Now, why is it using those words, not saying ena tzarech litin klum? Is because he has to say something. He has to say that I inherited from my father. But he does not need to have witnesses that his father lived even one day, and neither does he have to make a claim that your father or you yourself went and sold it or gifted it to my father. That's what's being excluded. But who said that it's requiring raya? Maybe it's like Rav, that you don't even have a proof. But what he does have to say, at least, and that's why he doesn't say in soklet and klum, he has to make somewhat of a claim to say that, however, I inherited from my father. Because if he doesn't even say that, that's a chazaka shein mataina, and then you're right, he wouldn't have the rights to the field. That's one answer why it's not going to be a raya. Now, v'ibayisim, if you want, you could say that even if you're going to say and prove from our Mishnah that you're right, from our Mishnah we see that by the case of a Yerush, he does need a proof, meaning even if you want to go with Rav's Dik in the Mishnah that it's a correct Diuk, that you see that, okay, only the Taina doesn't need, but the Raya, he does need a proof that the one who inherited, who bequeathed it to him, was living there at least one day, you could still say that it's not a proof to the discussion that was a dispute between Reb Chiya and Rav, which was regarding a case of a consumer, a purchaser. Because says the Gemara, I could tell you that Shani Lekeach, that a consumer is different, in other words, that a consumer is actually better than a Yerush. Because by a consumer, if it wasn't clear to the person, then most definitely the one who sold it to him had already bought it from the one who's the original owner of the land, and that delay shadi zuzbichdi. A person wouldn't just throw out his money for nothing. He verifies the deed, the documentation. He first clarifies to make sure this is a real seller. So therefore, there I could tell you that most definitely he had clarified it when he bought it. And therefore, in that situation, the guy that he's buying it from, he doesn't have to have neither a claim to know how he got it, neither does he have to prove that the guy was there. He obviously verified, and therefore we could assume that he had done a proper purchase. And therefore, that would be considered chazaka sheyesh meitain, and therefore it could be like Rav. So although from the Mishnah, it would be a correct diuk that you would need a raya, you would need witnesses that the one who had given it to him was there for a day, that's only by Yerusha, where, okay, the guy inherits it. But by Lakicha, where the guy wouldn't go ahead and buy it just for nothing, it's considered chazaka sheyesh meitain, even if he doesn't have proof that the guy was there for one day, and therefore it wouldn't be a proof to Reb Chiya versus Rav. Now the Gemara asks, relating to this halacha of Reb Chiya, Ibailu had the following question. Nira, if the one who sold this land to this current consumer, who is the machzik right now, if he was seen by, in that piece of land, he was seen measuring the length and the width of that property, which then he had sold to this guy, who the original owner is claiming that, who is this guy that sold it to you? This is still my piece of property. My, what's the halacha? would that be considered a valid testimony that people saw him, there was a sighting of him there by two witnesses? Would that be the same as the halacha that Reb Chiya required that you have to have eidos to see that he was there at least one day? Let's say they didn't see him living there for one day, but they saw him checking out, measuring the land on one day. Is that also be considered that, you see, we saw him on the property, must be that what this guy is saying is true, that he bought it from this guy, and therefore we could assume that this guy bought it from his owner? And that I'm Abaye. Abaye says, yes, the same thing. As long as we saw him on the property, people, there was a sighting of him measuring the land, it makes sense for us to assume that what this guy is saying is true, that he bought it from this guy, and that this guy somehow was the owner, and therefore Tanina lay for the Lekech. But Rav Amah, he disagrees. He says, no, Aver Inish, the Sayer Ari, Belezavan. It's very normal for a person to measure and assess and check out a piece of property and not buy it. So the fact that he was cited there checking and measuring and everything doesn't mean that he ever bought it, because people go and do that even if they're not the owner because they're just checking it out. And therefore the fact that he then sold it to this person does not tell us anything that this guy was on some level an owner, that we should make a claim for him that he had bought it from the original owner, because the fact that it was cited over there doesn't tell us, like, when if he lived there for a day. Then we could assume that he was claiming with his actions that he was the rightful owner who then sold it to this person. But the fact that he was just checking out doesn't tell us anything, because people check out properties without ever buying them.